Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you and welcome to Human Rights Demand. This is Human Rights Demand, and I am so grateful that you joined us today for Native American Affairs. Native American Affairs. I want you to know, especially if you're a Native American, that we don't presently have a host for Native American Affairs. But we've had two marvelous Native American hosts, and they are Shanupa Mani and Elizabeth Gaskins. Shanupa Mani is from the Lakota people, and he lives in, I believe, South Dakota. And Elizabeth Gaskins is of the Cherokee people. Native Americans have a rich culture with numerous tribes. And even though they live in individual tribes, some of them live on reservations. Many of them live in our metropolitan areas throughout this great land, Turtle Island. We do not have a Native American host on Native American Affairs presently. We are looking for our next Native American host. Again, we've had Elizabeth Gaskins from the Cherokee people, and we've had Shanupa Mani from the Lakota people, and we can choose a new Native American host from any tribe. It could even be from those same tribes. So if you would like to be considered to host Native American Affairs, then give me an email at maryloveslovesjustice@gmail.com. That's Mary, M-A-R-Y, loves, L-O-V-E-S, justice, J-U-S-T-I-C-E, at gmail.com. Just run that all together and send me an email and title it Native American Affairs Host. And then I will take a look at your email and be in touch with you. My telephone number is 678-531-0262. You're also invited to call this radio station at 347-857-3293. We have another Native American here on Human Rights Demand. Her name is Ms. Lynn Eagle Feather, and she's from the Sioux and Lakota Nation. She meets here on Thursday, that's tomorrow afternoon. Her show starts at 4 p.m., and she deals with homelessness in America. That's her subject matter, homelessness in America. Before her show on Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, we have Bob Darby, who also deals with homelessness in America. His show centers around the homeless, mentally ill. So we ask you to tune in and join us again tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. What a marvelous, crisp, warm day, sunny and bright, we're having in Georgia right now. I hope that you're enjoying 2014 and that you will enjoy and share the shows that are brought to you on Human Rights Demand. You know, Frederick Douglass was a great abolitionist of the 1800s, and he said, "Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will." We believe that here at Human Rights Demand. We also know that the Bible says, "You have not because you ask not." And if you ask, you ask amiss. So therefore, we ask for our human rights to be honored and respected. And we ask that on behalf of every person, whether that person is Black, Caucasian, Native American, Asian, Latino, all people have a right to have their human rights to be respected and protected. We have the United States Department of Justice, whose job it is to protect the rights of American people. They seem to be applying themselves to doing a somewhat better job, especially in the case of certain individuals. For instance, I read today about a young man. He happened to be a Caucasian young man who was brutalized by police. Yes, this is from an article in the Free Thought Press. Let me make sure I'm getting that name right. The Free Thought Press. Yes, the Free Thought Project. Look at the Free Thought Project. It says that the FBI is opening an investigation into a tasering incident that left a 17-year-old in critical condition. It says that a 17-year-old young man named Bryce Masters was tasered, handcuffed, and dropped on his face after a cop didn't like that he didn't roll down his window during a traffic stop. It turns out that the power window didn't work, and Bryce tried to tell the officer. Now, Bryce is in a medically induced coma. A teenage Caucasian is in a medically induced coma after being handcuffed, tasered, and dropped on his face by police. Read that story. It's in the Free Thought Project. And the good news is that the FBI is opening an investigation into Bryce's brutality the same week that Bryce was brutalized. And I tell you my thoughts on that. I think that it's well deserved that the FBI will investigate his brutality. And I also think that it pays to be white in America. It pays to be white. He's listed in critical condition in the area hospital's intensive care unit. And this happened in Kansas City, Missouri. Missouri has all the news this year, don't they? Missouri. Almost, you know, all the news reports are out of Missouri. And a great many of them revolve around Missouri police officers. We know that Michael Brown was killed with his hands up and surrendered. He was killed by Officer Wilson of the Missouri police. And now here's this young man, Bryce Masters, and he's in critical condition. The FBI inquiry will, take a look at that. And it falls under the Civil Rights Program, according to a statement by the Bureau, and we'll be looking into whether the officer used excessive force during the stop. Now, you see how it pays to be Caucasian? My goodness, Caucasians don't have to get together and march and get gassed and get tear gas thrown at them and get shot with rubber bullets by the FBI to investigate. Not a murder, but a beatdown. This young man was certainly brutalized by police, and the FBI are going to look into it. Now, he was hurt on Sunday, and here it is by Monday, this report came. So they're going to investigate this possible excessive force to this young white boy on Monday after his excessive force on Sunday. That's fast service. Congratulations, white people. I have been asking for a federal investigation regarding my brother's secret arrest and murder in Memphis Shelby County Jail for 11 years. And white people, even without marching, even without getting rubber bullets and tear gas like the demonstrators in Ferguson, Missouri received, even without all of that, even without a murder at all, your case of overuse of force is getting investigated the same week it happened. So I want to congratulate white people on having a system that responds justly for you within the same week. And congratulations to the FBI for deciding that this particular excessive force case needs to be investigated. Congratulations on responding quickly when Caucasians are brutalized by police. Did you ever notice that whenever you read about youths, that's young men, being killed by police, it's almost always a black one. Almost always, even though they have killed Caucasian youths. But when Caucasian youths are killed, did you notice that it's always by a Caucasian police officer? Can you imagine black police officers killing white young men between the ages of 15 and 25 once a week? Can you imagine that? If black police officers started killing white young men once a week, young men, well, let's go down some, between the ages of 12 and 25, because children are killed by police also, black children. So I want you to know that this justice system in the USA is very, very prejudiced. And I am glad that Bryce's brutality by police is going to be investigated. But I just had to point out to you how differently the brutality to a white youth is treated. You know, some of the demonstrators in Ferguson, Missouri were criticized. In fact, one police officer in Missouri called the demonstrators a name that is better suited for an animal, because they were demonstrating for a federal investigation and for justice for Michael Brown. But do you not see that it takes massive demonstrations for African Americans to get any semblance of justice in America? Have you ever known a black young man to be brutalized or even killed, and that sparked a federal investigation within a day? Have you ever known that to happen for anyone, black, male or female, in America? A federal investigation within a day, without demonstrations, without petitions, without months and months of marching? And have you ever known that to happen? No, you have not. It has never happened. So we want the federal government to take its own advice and to be what it says on paper. That's still a problem. These 50 plus years after Martin Luther King voiced that same request, he said, all we ask of America is to be what you said on paper, which is a nation that upholds freedom and justice for all. A-L-L, all. All excludes none. It doesn't exclude black people, Native Americans, Asians, Latinos, all should be all-inclusive, and everyone should have liberty and justice in America. Everyone. So I want to just point that out to our government, which is going overseas again, I'm told, to fight for humanitarian purposes again. I want to please remind you that there are lots of inhumane things going on right here in America. Lots of inhumane things. And since many of the people who will be engaging in this war overseas are people with non-white skin, I want to remind you that many of the injustices happening right here in America, many of the inhumane acts are also happening to people with non-white skin. So you don't have to cross oceans to find inhumanity to man under the auspices of government. You don't have to cross oceans to find that. You can do it right here in America, and you can start with the wrongful death of Larry Neal. Look that up online, wrongful death of Larry, L-A-R-R-Y, Neal, N-E-A-L. And I want to let you know how much I appreciate your joining Human Rights Demand today. This is Native American Affairs. Native Americans have experienced some horrendous things, and they still undergo oppression. They still undergo oppression. And so, as I said, we're looking for a new Native American host to take this two-hour program, invite your friends and your tribe members, and discuss whatever is of interest to you. Discuss your culture, discuss your issues and solutions to your issues. Discuss the good and the bad and the ugly. You are not censored by Human Rights Demand. I didn't say you won't be censored, because I am greatly censored, but it won't be by Human Rights Demand. Today, I was trying to read an article, and the article concerns a teacher, a school teacher, who was arrested for cyberstalking. This school teacher in Alabama was arrested for cyberstalking. Her name is Angela Farrell. She's 44 years old, and she's from Millport, Alabama. And she was arrested last Thursday, the article says, after Lowndes County Sheriff's Department investigated her at New Hope Elementary School. And I wanted to read this article. It seems like it's such an interesting article that this teacher was arrested for cyberstalking. I wanted to read and see whether she was, had one of those cameras connected to the children's computer and was watching them undress. That happened at a college that was giving out computers to the students. The computers had inbuilt cameras, and some of the administrators at the college were found to be using those computers, those school-issued computers, to spy on the college students at home, using the camera to see them dressing and undressing, and also listen to their conversations in their home. And so I wanted to see, what was this teacher doing? How was she cyberstalking on the computer? It could not even have been cyberstalking of her students. Don't get me wrong. I can't tell you what kind of cyberstalking she was doing, because I was not allowed to read the article by Sarah Fowler, S-A-R-A-H-F-O-W-L-E-R. She wrote the article. She's the author, and I was not able to read the article. And if you go to my Twitter page, I'm Coffee Time on Twitter, and you spell it the African way, K-O-F-F-I-E-T-I-M-E. If you go to Coffee Time at Twitter, you will see a picture of what I saw when I went to Sarah Fowler's article about the cyberstalker in Alabama, the teacher who's being arrested. She's been arrested for cyberstalking. I wanted to read about that, because I have cyberstalkers who choose what I can and cannot read online. They choose where my browser can and cannot go. They prevent me from publishing posts that I want to. So I wanted to read about this person going to jail for cyberstalking. By the way, I was told by Detective Miller of DeKalb County Police Department that cyberstalking Mary Neal is not a crime. So I wanted to see who she was cyberstalking, who was more important than Mary Neal. I'm just a black woman in Georgia. So apparently I don't have any rights to privacy that are protected. And so I wanted to see who was this woman cyberstalking, because obviously they are more important than myself and my family. But I wasn't able to read the article. I can show you a picture of what I saw when I went to the article. It had the information on the news journal that published it. It also had the signature line by Sarah Fowler and how I could get in touch with her at Twitter. But the whole article was blacked out. It was redacted on my view. So this is what cyberstalkers can do, and this is evidently what their bosses want to happen throughout America. They want to be able to stop us from reading news, especially certain news. For instance, if you go to my Justice Gagged blog today, you will see where I was not allowed to publish information on the Ebola virus. No, I'm not allowed to write about the Ebola virus and have it published on my Google Plus page. But the CDC has told U.S. hospitals to get ready, get ready, get ready. That's what the CDC has told United States hospitals. And that news was carried by 11 Alive. I also saw it at CNN, and I saw it at other news media. But I'm not allowed to write about it. I just had put a link to the 11 Alive article at my Google Plus page, and Google issued me a statement saying that your post did not publish. Try again. I tried again and again and again. And so you will see that at my Justice Gagged blog, Justice Gagged. That's JusticeGagged. So I'm sitting here gagged. I cannot write about the Ebola virus. And certainly, I'm not to write about any possible Ebola vaccines. I'm not allowed to write about these Ebola vaccines. So please look at Justice Gag blog. All through there, you'll see evidence of Mary Neal censorship. I'm the most censored person in America. So therefore, I say again that if you should take the position as our Native American host at Human Rights Demand on Blog Talk Radio, you will not be censored by Human Rights Demand. But that is not to say that your shows will not be censored, because I am. And I want to thank you for joining us today on Human Rights Demand. I want you to hear from one of our previous Native American hosts, while she talks about the commonality between Native Americans and African Americans. I think that's a very interesting show. And one of the things that Elizabeth Gaskins pointed out is that Black women and Native American women were allowed by the government to be raped. They both have that commonality. We were both allowed to be raped. And another commonality is that children were torn from the Native American mother's arms as they were from the African American mother's arms. And both situations are still happening. The U.S. Senate did a study. They had a study done in 1972, and it was discovered that 35% of the Native Americans' children had been removed from their birth families and their reservations. 35% of the Native Americans' children had been removed from their birth families and reservations, and that was in 1972. And when I talk to Native Americans today, I see that that is still happening. Their children are being removed from their birth families and reservations, and they're ordinarily given to Caucasian families to raise. And you would be surprised at how many of the Native Americans who we speak with say these children were treated Now, I don't know if they're still being treated like dogs, but they were. One of our guests asked us about being kept from eating dinner with the Caucasian people who were a foster family. She said she and her two sisters, who were all three Native Americans, had to eat separately from the hosting family. And they not only ate in a separate room at a separate table, but they also ate separate food. While the Caucasian family ate hamburgers and fried chicken and things like that, probably bought with some of the money they got for taking in the Native American children, the Native American children were eating bologna sandwiches and sometimes bread with mustard with no meat whatsoever. So this is how she was treated. Her name is Lynn Eaglefeather, and you can talk to her tomorrow. She'll be at this number, 347-857-3293. Ms. Lynn Eaglefeather also experienced homelessness in her life, and she talks about that here on Native American Affairs. Quite a few Native Americans are absolutely homeless, and so she's very concerned about that, and she talks about it on Human Rights Demand. And again, I want to thank you for joining us today for Native American Affairs. Ms. Gaskins, who you're about to hear in a few moments, has a new website, and it is called PTSD SWAT. PTSD SWAT. And I ask you to go to her website. Her name again is Elizabeth Gaskins, G-A-S-K-I-N-S. And she is fighting for people who have PTSD. She's fighting for them to get fair treatment. And so are we. I'm also the director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. I ask you to Google that name of our organization and see what's up. We're about to take the USA before the United Nations for the abuse, over-incarceration, and tortures and murders of mentally ill people of all races in the USA. They're treated like useless eaters. That's Hitler's term. So please Google AIMI, A-I-M-I, versus USA, to find out more information about that. And if you have a mentally ill loved one, or if you've been hurt by anyone with mental illness or drug alcohol addictions who were denied treatment, you will want to join that class. We're accepting 100 people from each group, that is to say 100 people who have experienced denial of psychiatric and drug alcohol treatment in order to be arrested, which enriches prison investors, and 100 people experienced pain and suffering, including wrongful death, by untreated mentally ill people. I'm going to go ahead and start Elizabeth Gaskins for you now. This is her tape where she talks about the similarities between Native Americans and African Americans. If you get cut off, come back and listen to the entire tape. For some reason, this live show is only 30 minutes today, even though all my shows are 120 minutes. Go ahead and let's listen to Elizabeth Gaskins. God bless you, and thanks for joining us.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Human Rights Demand. This is a brand new show. Today is our opening episode. It's going to be hosted by Ms. Elizabeth Gaskins. Elizabeth Gaskins is an elder in the Cherokee Nation. She is descended from the kings of that nation. And she is coming to talk to us about Native American affairs, not only for the Cherokee, but for any nation of indigenous people. And I think that she's on the line right now. She will be your host
every Wednesday at 3 p.m. with Native American Affairs Free Men. Hello, Ms. Gaskins. How are you?
I'm great. Pleased to have me, Mary.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you are hosting this new show discussing Native American Affairs Free Men. Why don't you tell us what Free Men means and then introduce yourself and just let people know what your show will be about and who to expect for guests on this show. But I would like for you to, when you were telling me what Free Men meant, I was having to set up the show at the same time. So I'd appreciate if you include information on that. And thank you for joining us, Elizabeth Gaskins.
Please, please. I'm Elizabeth Gaskins. I'm original Cherokee and Sinemaw, my father, mother. Mother was a Cherokee. My father was Sinemaw. I am a daughter, granddaughter of the war slaves during 1632 to the time they removed our family. Now, the Freemen are the blacks, the Creek Nation, Cherokee Nation, Choctaw Nation, Chippewa Nation. Those are five civilized tribes. We sued America, Freemen sued the United States government to give back their rights as Cherokee Nation. In 2009, they won the lawsuit, and they were given back their enrollment and the Dawes and the Baker's book of the enrollment. The Cherokee Nation today does not let the original people of the slave removal time enroll in the Dawes and the Baker's enrollment. This is why we sued the United States Cherokee Nation, because they violated the true tribal people's rights to be sovereign in the United States as non-citizens. We're sovereign natives. And that is where the Freeman Organization won their rights in the United States. We just sued again Barack Obama, giving our land rights back. Millions of dollars was the cobalt lawsuit was done in 2013. I believe Barack Obama signed for them to rescind the land back to the tribes, the original tribes that was their land at one time during the 16 to 1800s, during the removal. And May the 23rd coming is the when Andrew Jackson signed the treaty, the new Inuit Treaty with the Native Americans, and took all of the chiefs and massacred and murdered them. Started gathering all the Native American up and removing them off the land of the United States and putting them onto the reservation. Many went for Florida, your Cherokee Nation, your Choctaw Nation, were all removed from their land and murdered by the United States government people. People that came here and squatted on our land and bought, took our land, but that treaty was never honored to this day. The Native American treaty has never been honored. Sinemaw never gave up.
What were the provisions of that treaty? What did that treaty do? What were the provisions of that treaty?
The treaty was, there was like the Constitution, it was to give us our rights to our land, and the land was to be protected and not what has been done today, the pollutions and indigenous ways. We wanted what was best for the people in the United States, the health and the well-being, the care, as it is today. It's not. It's not been honored. The treaty, if it was to be honored
today.
Where
is that land located? Where is that land, and specifically, where is that land located?
East and west of the Mississippi River. 40 million acres belonging to the Gaskins settlement of my family. We own 40 million acres of land. It was given to us by the Queen and King of England during the time of the 1632. My ancestors there in South Carolina was given 22,000 acres of land there in South Carolina, and then they had taken, removed them off and went down to Florida and had 40 million acres in Gaskins, Florida. That was your Keokuk tribe, your Cherokee Nation.
And so these, did you say Gaskins, Florida?
There's Gaskins, Florida, Gaskins, Illinois, Gaskins, North Carolina, Gaskins, Virginia, Gaskins City.
And these are really named after your family. Your name is
correct.
Gaskins.
Correct.
So
we were
these were all
the
Indian lands.
Yes. That was given
and
to us
were,
for the...
They
ahead,
were
ma'am.
Given to you in treaties.
Yes. there were Lana tournaments. We have Lana tournaments. They were like the queen. They were the queen's land, the king's land. When the Britain came here and England came and fought with the tribes, they gave the land to the back to the tribe people that were honorable. They were honorable with loyalty, and I'm a loyalty fam of the loyalty peoples of England and Britain that gave us back our land there in South Carolina, signed by the Queen and King of England. We have the Isles of Wight, the Ministry of Justice. My family have been in all the wars. There's not one war that the Gascons was never involved in.
So after the Revolutionary War that the settlers dishonored the treaty that was made with the King and Queen of England?
Yes, they still have dishonored today. It's still been dishonored. If the treaty
treaties made after the Civil War, were there treaties made with the new government here in America?
Yeah, there was 22 treaties signed, yes. Not one of those treaties has been honored.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Is the condition of your tribe now? What is the general condition of your people now? Do you have a reservation for the Cherokee at this point?
The Sinemaw have their reservation, but my family don't have theirs. It was destroyed. The original Sinemaw tribal nation reservation was there in Dade City, Florida, during the first massacre of the first Sinemaw War. That was the first, and then they moved them off of their land, and now they're down in Okefenokee, Florida, which would be Hollywood, Dade City, Fort Lauderdale, in that area. They would be there today. The ones that made
They have a reservation there?
Correct. They got that. I believe that was established in 1984. I'm not sure of the year. There are some of the reservations that are being returned now. The government, with Barack Obama signing, have been returned back to some of the tribes, have gotten their settlements back. Now, the Creek, I don't believe they have theirs. I don't believe the Choctaw, the Sinemaw, and the Cherokee have their reservation. The Sinemaw have a reservation, but I don't believe the Creek do. And I don't know about, I'm really not sure of all the other reservations because they're so spread out and we have so many native cultures today. They're not actually the five tribes. So it's confusing for me how many reservations we do have in the United States. A lot of them are not real Native American people that were actually should have rights to the treaty and have them casinos. They're not, and their reservations, they're not entitled to have that by the treaty signing. That's why I'm saying the treaty was mismanagement of the treaty.
So now your people are of the Cherokee Freeman group, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Now, explain to us the difference between the Cherokee Freeman and the regular Cherokee.
The Cherokee Freeman are the blacks. They were intermixed with the Sinemaw and the Cherokee and all the five civilized tribes. They intermixed with us, they intermarried, and they became their Creek Nation.
So the Freemen, the Cherokee Freemen are more of a mixture of all the different five civilized tribes.
No, they could be a Sinemaw, Sinemaw, Black Sinemaws, or the Cherokee Sinemaw, which would be the Creek. But mainly the Creek was more of your slaves, and that was your Creek, that's your Blackfoot, The Creek Nation was there in Alabama and North Carolina, Georgia, Florida. That's where your Creek came in from. That was your Tecumseh's people and Shawanoa's people. Tecumseh was
so
the
now,
Creek.
When you say black, are you saying that they were black, like black-skinned?
Yes. Yeah. They lived on the plantations with us, reservations. And they lived there with us freely. The Freemans lived there, and they were all we were intermixed, and we lived there on the reservations and plantations together. And then the government came in and started taking and removing them, the blacks and the, as well as the Cherokee and the Seminole and the Creek Nation, Choctaw and the Chippewa Nation.
Let me ask you, were the black Native Americans, were they black from being mixed with escaped Africans, or were there indigenous black people here in America?
Well, in 1504, Mary, in 1492, in 1504, they come back to America, and the blacks came here, and they was there in Virginia, Maryland, in the 13 colonies. They'd came there, so they were a part of our nation. The blacks were here when Christopher Columbus came. The blacks came in 1504, and they've been here in America since. The Hispanics came then after, and they fought with the black and the Cherokee Nation. And the Hispanics said that the Florida belonged to Ponce de Leon, and no, that's not true. That's a false light statement about the Native American Seminoles. No Hispanic lived there. The blacks and the Native Seminoles were there. Runaway Seminole means runaway slave. That's what that means.
Okay. This is really interesting history. It is really interesting history. Now, I was told about the black Native Americans called Black Indians. And it was my understanding that some of the black Indians, the Indians had various cultures, various languages, and various skin colors. And that some Indians were absolutely red. I've seen pictures. And that some Indians were absolutely dark-skinned, like black people. And that some Indians, that there was a variation in complexion among the Indians, but that there were always black Indians here, even before the slave trade. Is that true or not true in your understanding?
That would be a true statement, Mary. They were here. Blacks were here.
So even before the slave trade, there were black Indians already living in America. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Wow. Well, go ahead and tell us whatever you want us to know about the Cherokee Freemen and about any other Native American group, and what your struggles are and what your hopes are. Go ahead and just give us a presentation on what's going on now as far as you know it.
Well, right now, if you've ever been to a reservation, they're very poor today. Our Native people live very poor. One of the poorest people in this country. I don't understand why our government don't give monies to the Native tribes here. We're not taught in our schools the true beliefs of our culture, our beliefs. There's been so much acrylics, everything like Chinese-made Native American artifacts. That's why we don't want anyone symbolizing our tribes, our people, our Native culture, because it's been so extinct today that no one really knows what a Native American culture really is. They don't know our belief. They don't know anything. So the school education doesn't understand. The government doesn't understand. We had our own beliefs. We had our own language. Our women took care of the reservation and the men's affairs. The men went out and took care of their things, and we took care of our children. It's very important that our girls and boys are very well taken care of in this government. We never took away our children and put them into adoption homes and foster homes. The government did all this to us. The government has continued their pattern of abuse to the Native tribes and the black culture and all the Native people that are here, the original five civilized tribes. They've continued to never honor the treaties. If we were to go and listen to what the Native people have taught, we taught the people when they came here how to grow and how to produce. if we were to listen to the native people and we were to come back and bring America back to our country and start using native herbs that we have in our growing in our United States, we have our cattails can grow for inner, that can grow many things the cattail can do in this government. People don't even know. Hemp, cannabis, it's grown for making clothes, oil, fibers, makeup, you name it. It doesn't have animal product in it. Something we've made, our Procter & Gamble and all of our medical companies and pharmaceutical companies don't listen to the native people, our shaman, our medicine women, and they don't understand that we are gifted, we are here, we the original people that have knowledge of what we're supposed to be doing because our ancestors speak to us, our people tell us things, and we know things are going to happen. The native, real true native people see things, they're very able to, like, know what's going to happen. We don't have no control because our government is in control of all. America's not going to make it if we don't slow down, clean our waters up, get rid of the Monsanto out of our foods, get our kids back where they should be and teach them the original days like it was back in the day, plant some trees, learn to how to teach your children how to grow something, eat right. America can make it. Quit spending so much money on everything you want, all this material stuff, and start putting America back together. Stop having foreign countries bring their products in here and selling it to us. We don't need that.
Well,
Mary,
there's
so many things
I
can say.
Environmental concerns have always been very precious.
Something I wanted you to know.
Native American people. The Mother Earth was always precious, and I know the Native Americans don't believe in taking more than is needed from Mother Earth, and you believe in protecting it. And I realize what you're saying about Native Americans have a deep spiritual connection that allows them to have an understanding about certain things that other people have tuned out their spiritual side, but Native Americans are tuned into their spiritual side to the point that there's much to be learned.
I wanted you to know this, Mary. In the earlier days with the Native American colors, you was talking about the skin color, they had taken the black, and this is going to shock a lot of people on the show right now, but they use their skin for tanning, for hide. They would cut their skin off and hang it to hide and wear their skins.
So they would kill the black Native Americans and remove their skin and use
correct.
Your skin like you would the skin of a cow
for that's,
leather.
That's correct. And you see things very, you probably wouldn't find but maybe a handful of Native American skin that were actually black people's skin that was tanned. I got some myself. I don't touch, but I have skin where you can feel it, and it is of a native. It was of a native person. It was a purse that I have that was made back in the times of 1700s, 1800s, I would say late 1800s. I've let a few people see, and they just want to get sick to their stomach to know that America would do such a horrible thing to the black folks. And they hung them. They hung the men and women them days. They always thought that the blacks were into witchcraft and Wiccan, but really they wasn't. They came over here from Africa and their country, and they had their own beliefs. And we believed what they believed because a lot of your blacks are indigenous believers. I mean, they believe in when a lot of your blacks are now seeing that they are part Native American. I have a lot of people from foreign countries contacting me and asking me, are they Cherokee or Seminole descendants because they resemble our tribal people. And yes, they are. If you look down into our lineage, if we check really deep into the lineage, they would probably be one of the slaves that were moved out of the United States and sold during the sex trade they are descendants of our tribe, and they're in different countries. I have a friend that's from Trinidad that came here to the United States, and she's a descendant of my family's tribe, the Cherokee Nation. But she's a black girl, and her hair is long and straight and don't get curly, and she always wondered why her hair was always long. I said, because you're Cherokee. And she's now learning about her culture and who her really identity is and her lineage and her people. And sure enough, I told her the Vaughns family are Cherokees, and she's related to my family, the Vaughns in Trinidad. And they were taken over there during the slave time in 1504, sold to their country. And there's a lot of Cherokees in Trinidad today. And a lot of your Hispanics, there are part black and they're part Cree, and they're Cherokee and Seminole. They did mix with the black and the Seminole nation, the Hispanics did. And some of them are now a part of our nation. But in the beginning, they were not here. They came here and stole the land, as well as the others did. But the blacks were here with us. They were already here. Because what it is, Mary, is when you're in a different climate of the United States, your skin tone gets darker. You know, people
right.
in Florida are darker than the people in the Midwest or the North, you know, in Florida, Georgia, because your climate there is so much hotter and heater, your skin will be so much darker. If I was to live in Florida right now today, I would be so brown, you would think I was mixed. But I'm not. I'm Cherokee, but my skin is real dark in the sun. I'm down there in the South. So a
you
lot
know,
of your...
I'm thinking about my mother's father. And he was about anywhere between 5 and 8 years old when the Civil War ended. And he was, my mother, I think, was a part of his second family. In other words, he was 60 when he married my mother's mother. So I think that he possibly had had other children who had grown up by then, but we're not sure. Anyway, my mom asked her, I said, Mama, what did your father tell you about slavery? What did he tell you about an ocean voyage? I know that he probably didn't come over on the ships from Africa, but maybe the slaves would discuss an ocean voyage. So what did he tell you about some of his elders in the ocean voyage? And she said, he didn't tell us anything about it. And I said, well, where did he tell you that he came from? And she said, he told us that his family was always here. I was taken aback by that there were no stories in his settlement about an ocean voyage or of any kind. He told his children that his family were always here. And he taught them how to fish without fishing rods and how to hunt without, you know, the normal things. And, you know, it's just very interesting that he told them that they were always here and that he knew some of the things, the skills that I knew that Native Americans have.
We have a lot of things that a lot of people don't use in our tribe, on our reservation. Native American don't smoke cigarettes. We don't drink. A lot of them do now. The other different tribals, but in the Cherokee Nation, is prohibited alcohol on the reservation. They do get out and get alcohol. Some of the tribals, it's sad. But there is a law in the treaty that was writ that if you give a Native American alcohol, you can be fined up to $100,000 for giving that Native person that alcohol because it's poison to us, including the black person. It's a $100,000 fine, United States government, to ingest that. No one's ever challenged that law in the tribes. Alcohol has become a big-time problem. Then the government going to arrest you for public intox and nobody got hurt. Well, the government's all messed up because the law, the Constitution, says that you must be an injured party at all times. If there's no injured party, there's no cause. There's no reason to be bothering anybody. We're free to go. That's where your treaties were, and them are not being honored today. Our police states, that's bogus. That's so bogus to have a police state and our police be beating up folk and our prison industry. Oh, no, 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 no. We, America, no, no, no. This is not what our treaty was about. That's slavery. That's bringing people from foreign countries and putting them in an environment where they were not supposed to be. This is not good. You built your prisons on our burial grounds in America is what our prisons are at. Right now today they're on the reservations that were once time a reservation. They are sitting there on them today. That's why a lot of your
is
prisons...
Is that right? Please say
correct.
That again. I never heard that. Say it again.
Your prison systems were... They took the burial grounds, the reservations that were once here at one time, and especially in Illinois. If you look into the history of Illinois... In southern Illinois, where Centralia is, that used to be a reservation there. All that land there has a prison there. There's Springfield used to be a reservation. Abraham Lincoln destroyed that reservation, run them all out of there. In southern Indiana, in Gaskin City, Illinois. Indiana is another one. Ohio is another one. That's where your Choctaw is. A lot of your Choctaw are over there in Ohio. Prison there. Used to be an old prison war camp. They built that on a reservation. A lot of your Mormon, your churches are built on their mounds. They're built on mounds. A lot of your mounds have been destroyed today. The United States has allowed them to people, the archaeologists and the people, to go and disturb the Native American that were murdered on land that people own today, and it's a $100,000 fine to destroy a burial site. And today, my family's burial site, the Gaskins, is completely destroyed. You'll not see not one of our graves there in Florida. They're gone. My last name is completely distinct. Gaskins doesn't mean anything to the United States, but they were one-time loyalty people here in the Native American culture. America's the Constitution is so mismanaged, just like the Native American affairs are mismanaged.
And I read recently that up to 35% of Indian children have been removed from their families and from their reservations. 35% of Native American children were removed and put in foster care. Did that happen also to the Cherokee? They didn't distinguish in my reading that they didn't distinguish which tribes that affected. Did it affect your people?
All the tribes, Mary. It include your Lakota, and you know also the Native American women are your, and also your black women are your first to be raped in the United States more than a white woman would be.
Yes.
It's the highest up in the country. Black women and Native American women are raped in this country, and those laws have not done anything about it. And just like removing of the children too. We fought the government just not too long ago with Baby Valencia, and she was returned back to the family. My daughter, they took her baby away, and the judge here where I live at had found out that I was Elizabeth Gaskins, and I had already entered my parents and showed him why I'm a Cherokee Nation, and I'm the clerk of the court, the chiefest of the Yokuk tribe. You know, I explained this to the judge, give back the baby or I'm going to sue the state of Illinois for illegal kidnap and violation of the United States laws to the tribe under Title 25. And they returned my grandson, my one grandson, to my daughter back, the judge did here. But that was because the Baby Valencia case was there too. But Mary, it doesn't matter. It's not only the Native American children are being removed. It's all a lot of. I believe that the government knows that there's some Native American in some of those children in that foster system, and they're snapping up on him. Whether they be Black, Cherokee, they be Creek Nation, the Choctaw Nation, Seminole Nation, they're trying to wipe out that five civilized tribes nation by taking the children, putting them in white foster homes, which is not supposed to be. That should have never happened in this country. Whoever started that in the government.
What excuse did they give to remove your grandchildren? What excuse did they give? What reason?
Well, the state has this environmental dangerous, and that because my daughter smoked cannabis, and my daughter has a disability where she's entitled to have cannabis. We've already showed that cannabis does not hurt a baby, nor does it hurt any human being. It's just like an herb that you'd be eating out of your food. Our food's more harmful than cannabis is. Tell you the truth, it is, because they put stuff in our food. My daughter's child away because she smoked cannabis. Well, the state of Illinois sued Lori Burris versus the Department of Children and Family Services in this state, and that had been a case since 1980s with the removal of the children. But environmental dangerous, that's where they took over thousands, I think 200,000 children were taken to the state of Illinois and put in a foster home here in the, since the 80s. I haven't got track of all the number of children been taken in this state, Mary.
Wow.
We won that case in Illinois is being sued right now. Lisa Madigan got sued, attorney general here. She got sued by Lori Morris, and all they gave that poor girl was $150,000. It took her two children from her because the stepdad done something to the baby. It wasn't Lori's fault. And then the second baby, I don't want to talk what he did to the child. That's Lori, left Lori to say what he done to her baby. Lisa Madigan, the Department of Children and Family Services, took that girl's baby away from her and alienated defection with both those children. That's not supposed to be going on either. The Supreme Court ruled that in the siblings, if there's one or more siblings that are blood direct descendants, you're not allowed to adopt them out to nobody. Nor you're supposed to allow the families come first. Well, that's no longer going on anymore either. Family Strengthening Coalition's gone. Family First Program's gone. All these programs that were here one time that worked with, like the Welcome Wagon and all these things, are no longer existing in America. They've got the Department of Children and Family Services, some warlord up there taking the babies away for profit and selling them possibly to other countries. Don't know. They could be using them for human, putting chips in them, and who knows what they're doing. But half of your children in the foster home today are raped, boy or girl. They're raped. They're actually sexually abused in those homes. They never tell about it. Even the foster dads are child molesters. Some of the moms are child molesters. I've many cases in Illinois where I could name names of child molesters that were convicted, were foster parents and had their license and beat these foster kids up. It's a system that's gone wrong. And no child should be taken from a family and adopted out. I don't care who their family is. We're supposed to be helping this family. You know, Mary, I think today everybody religious and they believe that Lord Jesus Christ, what's God going to tell half these women in the foster system and the judges when they face them off? All these women are going to hide their face in shame and won't even be able to look at the Lord for what they did to another woman's child.
It's nothing but a vagabond.
She'll be called a vagabond and the father will tell her, depart from me, you curse of a wickedy, I know you not. You took that child away. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he said, love my children. Jesus loved the little children. Don't hurt my children. He said, it's better to cast the millstone around your neck and drop you to the sea, judge, for you hurt any more of our children. There are people out there fasting today. When people fast and they give up, and they're going to give to the Creator, or their Lord, their Savior. I don't care who you serve. I don't care if it's the mud outside in the yard. If you want to stomp it all day long, so be it. It's your right to believe. I'm a free-faced woman. I believe any religion you can have. If you believe in the Creator or God or Allah or Buddha or whoever you want to believe in, Satan himself, you want to believe in you want to believe Jehovah, you want to believe in Judas, so be it. It's your right to believe. That's your right. It's our fundamental right.
Absolutely.
As long as you're not hurting nobody and you're believing that way, fine. And a lot of this stuff about this war, Mary, I don't believe half that phony baloney stuff. The government is the ones backing all. If the government would come and kill all the Native Americans off and put us on a reservation, you don't think they'd put a bomb up in this United States, people? What did Bill Clinton do to Waco? He sent a bomb over there to kill all those babies, him and his wife, Hillary and Bill. Murdered all those children in Mount Carmel. And he knew there was children in that building with David Kirsch and all them. He didn't. He should have investigated. The FBI should have known before they went in there and bombed that building. And that was a direct terrorist attack on every one of them babies. Did he ever reconciliate for what he'd done to the Kirsch family? No, absolutely not. Mr. Clinton has never, him and Janet Reno, nor his wife, have ever made a reconciliation of that family. Another one, Columbine. What they do with Columbine, Mark Taylor. Another shooting. Sandy, you know, there was murders that happened back in the day that they don't even speak about to this day, Mary. And also in New York, there used to be boarding homes where they would put the black children and the native children and keep them in boarding schools and try to segregate the states, you know, the people, blacks from the Cherokee and all the five civilized tribes. They keep them separated and put all the white kids in their school. You know how it was with Rosa Parks. She couldn't even go down the street, ride on the bus because of the whites. St. Martin Luther King. Another one, John Kennedy. Another one, John Kennedy said equality for all rights. John Kennedy was a direct blood descendant of my family, the Gaskins, the Lee family. John Kennedy was a Native American himself. So a lot of the things in this world, in our government, and our people coming here, we got immigrants, we got so many people that don't even have identity, we don't even know who is in America. And that's where our police department and our power should be working. We should have given out, instead of prevention, we should have prevention police, not police officers. They should be preventing things happening, not making things happen. It should be prevention, and they should get a prevention paycheck. Sorry, they're not above the law. Our government's not supposed to be above none of us. We all pay taxes, and that tax money was supposed to go back to the Native American people for the land to set on it. Never happened. It was used for all these wrongful things going on in our country.
Wow.
That's why I'm at.
I tell you, listening to you, I am learning in this first broadcast. I am learning so much information. I never knew that John F. Kennedy had Native American blood. I never knew most of the things that you have rattled off today, just as a matter of course. I had no knowledge of it. I'm sure that our audiences are going to be greatly enriched in their knowledge, not just of Native American history, but American history, period, to listen to your shows every week at Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will host this show. You will bring guests on to discuss whatever matters you wish, and you will enlighten us about the Native American issues and freemen. And we so much appreciate you, Elizabeth Gaskins, coming forward to speak up and speak out regarding all of these matters. And can see where we're going to greatly benefit by your knowledge. And I thank you so much for doing this. Let me ask you, what is your reason for wanting to have a radio show and speak to the public about Native American issues and freedom?
The truth needs to be told, what really American history is all about and what it was. At one time, we don't even have it in our school books. Nobody knows anything about Native American today. They're all thirsty and hungry for our tribal people. They're interested in it. As more powwows that we have and gathering our people, Mary, I see a lot of folks come up to me from all different walks of life and ask me questions. Elizabeth, you're a rural Native woman. I say, yes, I am, and they know. And they honor me, they respect me, and a lot of people are hungry for our culture, our dancers. And you know, Mary, our little dancers, I want people to know this, our tribal dancers, when they go and travel to these different powwows, they don't get paid but a little bit of nickel and dime from the dancers, get paid a little nickel and dime for what they do there. They dance for the spirit of our Mother Earth, and when an eagle feather falls to the ground, or one of the dancers is dancing, that eagle feather falls, we must stop immediately and pray. That's very serious. Very serious. Ceremonials are supposed to go on from the east out to the south side. Different traditions that we have during ceremonial time, they don't even say these things in the powwows. Last year I done a powwow up in the Quad Cities here, and there was 5,000 folks showed up at the powwow. Beautiful. Beautiful powwow they had. And it was, see all the beautiful costume and the regalia and the dancers and joining of our two people. And we have intertribal dances. We ask people like yourself or anyone from any country to come in and dance with us. And we bring them in. But we are not teaching traditional ways of our tribal people. And that's what Nia America needs to understand and learn about traditional ways. Sitting down at the table with your family. Give your family 15 minutes of your time. That's important. Eat with your family. Do something with your family. Love your children. Stop giving these babies away. Kill or not for sale. Our government is wrong. I don't even want to be a part of the government myself anymore. It hinders my spirit to see all the corruptions going on. And I'm 55 years old, and I've lived my life of seeing everything. My family, Mary, hid my family's identity from me in fear of we'd be murdered and massacred. Because of Gaskin's family, we're all murdered and massacred. There's very few of us left of the true Gaskin's family. There's just a handful of us.
Wow.
I'm thankful that everyone listened to me, and I hope what I say to folks that if they don't believe me, go check on the internet. It's all history, free information. You can check out Gaskin's, check out who I am, check out the Freemans. I'm for real. I don't have a reason to false story anyone. It's the truth, and everyone needs to be educated. Our school systems, our government, everybody needs to be educated about really what's going on in this country. Who were the first people here? Why are we all running around here doing all these crazy things? These kids are not taught right. If our children were taught education right, I believe half these school kids would get along with one another and having all these bombings and shootings. We wouldn't have that going on.
If they were taught right, if they were taught respect for themselves,
right,
respect for their elders, and respect for Mother Earth, if they were taught the meaning of brotherhood, if they were taught that it's not in the accumulation of things, but it's in loyalty, friendship. Oh, wow, Elizabeth, you are so right about that.
We need unity back in this.
Absolutely right. And I thank you. You know, we're running out of time today, but I want you to know that it has truly been educational, and I ask everybody to please get the link to this broadcast, which is Elizabeth Gaskin's debut broadcast. She will be back every Wednesday at 3 p.m. to have her show. And her show, right now it's called Native American Issues Freeman. If we change the name, we'll let you know. But that's the name of the show for today, Native American Issues Freeman. And we so much appreciate you coming on and sharing with us, Elizabeth. And we can see that we're going to learn so much from our time with you every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Would you like to have another word? We're about to go off the air.
I walk in the spirit, and I got 9 fruits of my spirit. I talk
walk
to you about the spirit. I walk in the spirit. I'm very spiritual, indigenous, and I want everyone to ask me questions instead of me talk. I'd like for them to ask me questions. I feel more comfortable.
Well, you do very well.
Yes, indeed. Elizabeth Gaskins does do very well. Describing to you what it's like to be a Native American in this culture, which is still very prejudiced against indigenous people. Indigenous people experience unique situations that come about simply because they are indigenous people. They are Native Americans, just as African Americans experience unique situations that arise because they're African Americans, just as Latinos experience unique situations because they are Latinos. So America is a country where there's still a great deal of racial prejudice, and there seems to be little done about incidents of violence, incidents of victimization of certain people, people who are non-white. But increasingly, the victimization even happens to Caucasians. I said the victimization by government authorities are even happening to Caucasians now. The only commonality that covers all seems to be whether a person is wealthy or not. That's the single commonality that seems to connect all victims. They are usually all poor or middle class people. So it's racist, and it's also very, very class conscious in the United States of America. And I join hands with all Americans who, like our foreparents, want to make this country better. And I feel that America will improve only when it lives up to its creed: liberty and justice for all. Justice for all. Justice for all. So, we make a human rights demand today for justice for all, to be more than just a creed, to be our actuality, our reality, that we will have and live in and pay taxes and support militarily and with our tax monies, a country that is fair and just to everyone without regard to their race, their national origin, their color, their religion, without regard to those divisions that are, to my idea, artificial divisions among men. We must do what the Bible said, and that is, love ye one another as Christ loves us. So no matter what your religion, I just want you to know that I appreciate you tuning in today. This has been Native American Affairs. I often quote from the Bible, and I do that because that is my favorite book of philosophy, history, and my instruction manual. You might have another book that you'd like to quote from when you call in to speak on Native American Affairs at the Human Rights Demand channel at Blog Talk Radio. And you are invited to call and speak. You are invited to call and speak to any audience, any show that we have. Yes, this is Human Rights Demand on Blog Talk Radio. It's a political progressive channel. We are secular, and we are here to welcome you, the radio listening audience, to call in and speak to us about issues of concern for you. And I thank you for joining us today. Thank you for listening to Elizabeth Gaskins. I want you to know that Ms. Elizabeth Gaskins has a website that I think you should visit. It is called PTSD SWAT. PTSD SWAT. Now, nobody who knows about mental health care should ask why those two terms are put together. PTSD, SWAT. You know, those two terms remind me of a 107-year-old black man, 107, who was shot to death in his own home by Arkansas SWAT team that were called because, like a lot of elderly people, he didn't want to change his life. He didn't want to move from where he was living to his new apartment. So rather than wait for the old gentleman to go to sleep, SWAT killed him. That was Monroe Isidore, who was killed in 2013 by Arkansas SWAT. He obviously had a touch of old age dementia, and mental illness is the cause of over 50% of the police violence incidents that happen in America. So you're invited to look at PTSDSWAT.com. And that is by Elizabeth Gaskins, who you just heard speak here on Human Rights Demand. We want to thank you again for joining us today. Tune in tomorrow when we have Bob Darby and Ms. Eaglefeather, that's Lynn Eaglefeather from the Lakota people. They speak about homelessness in the USA. My name is Mary Neal. I'm director of Human Rights Demand Blog Talk Radio Show channel, and I also am director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. We have an ambitious plan to sue the USA in international court in 2015. Please look up Amy, A-I-M-I, versus USA for more information about that. Before I go, I want to give you a bit of good news that has nothing whatsoever to do with Native American affairs, but I think that all of our Native American brothers and sisters can rejoice with us that the case of the IRP6, IRP6, is going before the U.S. Supreme Court. It's on the docket. Please look up IRP6 and look up the articles that I wrote about these six men who are incarcerated right now, although they should not be. It's a wrongful conviction. My name is Mary Neal, so put Mary Neal, IRP6, in your browser and look up more information about these six computer experts who are wrongfully convicted in Colorado, I believe it's Colorado, and their case is now going before the U.S. Supreme Court. Unfortunately, there are some 200 pages of the original court transcript has not been released to their attorneys yet. Over 200 pages of the original court transcript is denied the defense counsel for IRP6. Obviously, something is wrong. Obviously, the original trial court knew that it broke the law. It actually disregarded the rights of these men, I believe, because when court documents are disallowed to the defense attorneys who are planning to be heard before the U.S. Supreme Court, and these documents are refused to be handed over to the defense attorneys, that can only be because information is being covered up and hidden. But that's what we do here on Human Rights Demand. We uncover what's covered up, not to embarrass anybody, not to embarrass a single person, but to join hands with everybody who believe, as I do, that things that are not known cannot improve. Things that are not revealed cannot improve. So we reveal some of the things that are happening that we find objectionable. And the only reason we reveal these things is not to embarrass anyone. It is so that the cover can come off of things that are wrong, so that you and I, no matter who you are, if you're interested in improvement, then with the cover off, you will know about these issues and you may be in a better position than Mary Neal and my guests and my other hosts to affect positive change. Next time someone says the word change to you, make sure it's positive change. So God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Tune in tomorrow again at 3 p.m. Eastern for Human Rights Demand. Good day to you.
I wish I could break all the chains.